like to also add a second principle, I think, that embellishes what you just said, John. You know, what's interesting, and you see it, you see the pattern that, or the cycle that continues in Judges. You know, there's sin, there's servitude, there's confession, there's salvation, there's silence, and then it keeps repeating itself. And I want to also add a New Testament principle that I think highlights what you also just said, Brother John. And you see it, and this was, this scripture was mentioned yesterday in, at the end, when we looked at chapter 3, and it's in Romans chapter 6. And it's the principle, that plague, the children of Israel that they never got. And obviously we're plagued with that too, because it's a difficult principle to grasp. If you look at, Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 13, there are four things, and then there's one in chapter 8. And I'll mention it quickly. It says, knowing this, that our old man, actually it should say was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the first thing that they miss is knowing what happened to sin. Sin was crucified in the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. They never got it. So as soon as the leader died, they forgot what that principle was. They forgot that they were just sinners saved by grace, and that what you need to do is, first of all, have the knowledge of the fact that sin has been crucified, right? And the second one was, it says in verse 11, now we're supposed to reckon this as true. Reckon that sin has been crucified at the cross. And that's where it belongs. So we have to count it. So there's the knowledge, there's the reckoning, and then in verse 13, there's the yielding. It says, yield yourselves as unto God. Actually, I'll read verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but you yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So there's the yielding to God of our instruments, of our body. Coming to that point in our Christian experience, knowing that it's just not something that happens once, but it's a constant yielding. And actually, if you read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when it says that we should present to our bodies a living sacrifice, that word yield there is the same word. We're supposed to present to our bodies. And the children of Israel never got that. They never recognized that it's a day-by-day thing. It's not because of the leader. It's not because of the character of the leader. But each of us, each of them, had to be constantly yielding their members as instruments of unrighteousness. And then, if you look for the fourth point in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says that where's that one? It says that we need to walk not after the flesh, but walk in the spirit. So the Christian experience, if we're going to be victorious over the flesh, if we're going to be victorious over the world, if we're going to be victorious certainly over Satan, we need to be walking in the Spirit. We need to be subject to the Spirit. And we will find in our own lives that if we're not doing these things, recognizing that, first of all, that the old man has been crucified, reckoning it so, yielding, and then obviously walking in the Spirit, we're going to be plagued with the same thing that the children of Israel was plagued with, where they were constantly taking that victory and not recognizing that that victory is supposed to be maintained. The thing was, with the children of Israel, they were supposed to take those steps, those physical steps, in the land of Canaan, not give it up. Likewise for us, You know, we're supposed to take those steps, and we're not supposed to give it up. We're supposed to hold our ground, and the way we hold our ground is by taking advantage of the principle that we talked about in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 8. That's the New Testament version of the Christian overcoming in this world and overcoming the flesh.
So here we are again. Verse 2. And the Lord sold them because we remind ourselves that we belong to Him. He has rights to us. And when we fall prey because we disobey the word of God, God is going to have, He's going to intervene so that He might chasten and train us. And we'll notice as we go down that every act of disobedience and evil required a longer period of time of discipline. And so he sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan. And as Jeffrey reminded us, Canaan was to be, or is the land of promise for God's people. As Brother Carl said, they were supposed to possess these wonderful possessions that God had given to them, an inheritance. And they were not to give it up. They were to drive out their enemies. And yet, because of disobedience, the enemies reared their head because they were dwelling amongst them. They did evil, and now God puts them into the hands of this king of Canaan called Jabin. I believe his name means, has to do with understanding. And he was the king, understanding and reasoning. Right? The reasoning according to the mind of the world and men. And he reigned in a place called Hazor, which means king of the enclosure. So the people today and in this day thought that they were free. But they were put into the hands of this great king that represents the devil himself, who deals with the intellect, the minds of men. You know, they say if you... you don't look to the body to lead, but it's here. The battleground for you and I is the mind. Because when we get the mind to think the way the world wants us to think and to act the way the devil wants us to act, well, the body just carries it out. And that's why the mind is the battleground. The Apostle Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We said in Romans chapter 12, the renewing of your mind. Because once the mind has been gained and it is enclosed by Jabin, the devil, a picture of the devil, then the body is just going to carry out what he wants it to do.